This podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. You think you're going to know who's going to win the hockey games tonight? Lay down some money and get in on the action at the safest online sportsbook in the world and the only one we recommend to our listeners. MyBookie.ag offers all kinds of different wagers on Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, and NBA playoffs. Everything's in full swing right now. It's a great time to get in on it. And when you win with lightning fast, when you win, you get lightning fast payouts. No problems anywhere. Not like shops at home. No one gives you a run around. Boom. Easy money right away. You can even create your own player prop wagers with your own prop machine. That's nothing better than that. If you want to invent your own bets, I mean, it's like Build-A-Bear, but for betting. So you heard it right. Create your own stuff, wages, anything, all kinds of stuff. Go check them out now. Use the promo code SPIT for a 50% bonus when you deposit. I'd only recommend this site to our listeners. That's been good to me, and mybookie.ag is the best. It's the only place you can check out for all kinds of props, live wagering, anything you want, it's there. Again, you can make up your own props. Nothing better than that. They got all kinds of sports. They also got casino games like blackjack, roulette, craps, and slots. MyBookie.ag has it all. Not to mention, you can play all the games on your cell phone, iPhone, or your tablet. Totally up to you. Do it from anywhere. So you play, you win, you get paid. So if you want to get in on the action this summer, go to mybookie.ag now and sign up with them using promo code SPIT to ensure that you're eligible for all of our future promotions and bonuses. Visit Las Vegas from your couch or try them out today. Once again, that's mybookie.ag. Use promo code SPIT. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the PK Subban episode of Spittin' Chicklets, brought to you by Barstool Sports. We have a very international version of the band back together from Victoria, Australia. What up, Biz?
Victoria's the state.
Oh, well, fuck, man. That's why I asked. All right. Well, good day, mate. And now we got Winston Secaucus, New Jersey.
Yeah, boys. First of all, listeners, what's up? I'm going to be completely honest. I'm a fucking loser. I'm a joke. And I'm also, I took an Ambien 10 minutes ago, so God knows where this is going to end up. I could fall asleep.
It's time
to say things that I'm not responsible for after the Ambien hits. But what am I supposed to say? I'm taking shrapnel left and right. I almost wish that the Ambien I took was a pill from Dr. Kevorkian, so I just wouldn't wake up and I wouldn't have to take the heat that I'm going to get for this. I mean, I'm so cold, boys. I think I'm going to go broke, and I have a shitload of money. I might lose it all. Biz, I'm getting dummy.
Welcome to the club.
You guys, the Vegas Golden Knights just swept the first round series against the LA Kings. They swept them. The LA scored 3 goals in 4 games, and I don't even know what to say. Not only did I pick them to win the series and bet LA in the series, I bet LA in every single game. I was like, that was a tough loss game 1. They'll get them game 2. Oh, shit. Tough loss game 2. For sure, they're going to win at home game 3. Oh, my God. Well, they got to get 1 tonight. I'm like, they got to get this, and they're not going to get swept. Nope. So I am so fucked right now, money-wise, on this goddamn series. I'm embarrassed because I've had all my friends bet the Kings. They're all furious at me. I cannot believe this bag of shit.
Speaking of drugs, I think Fleury's back on the Russian gas.
Dude.
I mean, he's got to be. 3 goals in 4 games. This guy, what's going on?
He's laughing. J.S. Jagr in 03, he looks like. Put it this way. If you said before the series, Wits, all right, John Quick is going to have a 9.46 save percentage and a 1.75 goals against. He's only going to give up 7 goals on 131 shots. You'd be like, yeah, I like my odds there. No, not even close. Fleury had a 9.77 with a 0.75 goals against, 2 shutouts. Dude, he is in the fucking zone, man. It's scary. It's 08-09 level.
And you know, I played in the LA system. They play extremely structured, and it's a suffocating system. But for how well they play structured, they do sacrifice a bit of offense. And sometimes they just go very dry, and they just got very cold at the wrong time. I mean, I don't even know if Carter had a point that series.
This is fucking convent level dry.
To Foley, no points. To Foley, no points. Carter, no points.
It's like Wit trying to get a girl wet, just fucking super fucking dry. He needs the KY jelly to even get some type of
screaming for KY jelly. Like, holy fuck, Whitney's ears and his voice. Holy shit.
I think a little poetic justice, Braden McNabb, who Kings let go so he could join the expansion team, ends up scoring the series winning goal. You know, kind of a defenseman. Little poetic justice there, man. But it's I mean, four games, man. I thought that we were going to get at least six games the way the goalies were playing.
Four fucking games. It took them four games. Are you kidding me?
Where were the Kings to sweep? They had to be at least 12 to 1.
I think Vegas, because I had it, you could pick by game. Vegas to sweep, I want to say it was like 100 to 1. I mean.
That, really? That high, yeah?
No. It's like it was high. It was high, man.
Hey, but I'll say this. Although we were wrong, and I was wrong anyway. I know Whit picked LA too. I would say if there was a gun held to your head, any hockey fan you'd ask for death, I think in that series they pick LA. You have to, right?
Have to. That's what I'm saying. I'm not that big of a Muppet. I am, but I'm not, because like who saw this coming? Who saw this coming? By the way, this Vegas team. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to bet against them next round against San Jose. I think I'm just going to ride this out and bet against them until I either like get stabbed by a bookie because I don't have the money to pay him, or I just finally get everything back because I keep doubling down and doubling down. But this Vegas team is so good. They just they're all on the same page, and they all just grind their dicks off. They're the hardest team to play against. They won't stop working. They play the exact same system. While Bill Carlson's out there, he looks like fucking Mario Lemieux. James Neal looks so sick. He had that power spinoff move off of like Fannenberg or whatever his name. That was sick. And then they win all these loose puck battles. Like any race to the loose puck, they get there first. They change. They play four lines. And then at the end, like when they do give up chances, they have Fleury, who's in the zone. Crosby would have seven cups if Fleury played like this the entire time at Pittsburgh.
And he's unbeatable. And with my biggest fear going in that series for LA was just that Vegas, they come in waves and it's all four lines and they're relentless. I just thought that LA was going to be able to smother them and play so structure where they slowed that pace down that I'd seen against the Coyotes all season. But they just get it collectively done as a group. Everyone chips in, and there's always a hero. Every different game, it's someone else, like Shea Theodore first game. And then you said Braden McNabb, like, those are the two guys who scored their goals in the 1-0 games. It's a Cinderella story, but they got
When does that story? When does Cinderella's fucking shoe fall off, or whatever? However the story goes. When do I get my shoe?
Think of how high paced the series would be if it was Nashville Vegas. That would just be like I wouldn't even be able to keep up.
Yeah, because we'd be still out when the game started.
Hey, Erica, it's Wits. I think we should make Spittin' Chicklets daily now. I need some money to pay my fucking my shop.
Hey, Barstool, is there any chance I can get a full-time job because I just spent my career earnings on the goddamn LA Kings in the first round against an expansion team? Also, I do like Biz. You saw so many games, like you saw Vegas play live. Like from what I've been told, they just outwork every other team. And because of that, I think that, like, I thought once the playoffs started, everyone's, like, you know, level of work and teams kind of coming together to work together and how hard they work would step up to where Vegas had been all year. But I don't know if, like, anyone can. Like, did you see anyone ever come close to working as hard as they do as a team?
Well, I mean, we said it before the season. It's like the NHL rejects, and that's nothing against these guys. They were all like the cusp second liners for the most part. I mean, except for James Neal's probably a first liner. I mean, Wild Bill, like, what do you have?
He had six like four goals last year, or six goals.
Right. So a lot of these guys are out to prove themselves, and they got a chip on their shoulder, which is a good thing. I mean, they're all looking for contracts. It's going to be tough to keep this team together for a long period of time. Because all of them are going to get overpaid, and it's been an awesome story and one that's really good for the league.
The series changed. And we have more refereeing to discuss. That Doughty hit was a bunch of bullshit that he got suspended for that. That is a piss poor decision by the Department of Player Safety or whatever they're called. That was about it. What the hell? That was a great hit in a playoff game by one of the best players in the world, and you suspend him a game? What the fuck? Like, come on. Yeah.
I was surprised that. I mean, he caught the shoulder first. Like Eddie Edzo said on TV the other night, it was a hockey play that goes bad. It was like he hit him. The guy was going forward. You know, he was lurching forward at the same time. Completely a coincidental hit. I was shocked. I was shocked he got a game for it. And that does swing the series, man. Doughty's that big of a player. I mean, even though they beat him in four games, that was one of the tighter games you beat. One of the tightest series you're ever going to see for a sweep. And it was a fucking huge call. And then, we'll get to the other one later. But just to go back to your Vegas point, Ray Ferraro, who was, by the way, excellent on the broadcast tonight, he said that the Vegas general management, they actually looked at and they realized there were nine teams that could be exposed from an expansion perspective. They knew that they spit it out.
Is there a technology mistake there with Skype?
It's Bill.
There's technology right there, not RA's speaking.
So they realized there were nine teams that could be exposed basically in the expansion draft because they were carrying so much talent and they could work out the trade. So they basically, you know, finagled the draft before they even got to the season. But still, to accomplish what they've done, it has been incredible. And if you're fucking San Jose, you got to be shitting your pants right now.
I know. I'm not ready to give up on Vegas yet because Gerard Gallant, embarrassed by the Florida Panthers, they got him a fucking – bicycle cab to take him out of the arena when they fired him in Carolina. He was in a pedicab going out of there, and now he's probably just riding a sick limo in a black Rolls Royce limo down the strip in Vegas for a couple nights off before their next series because they deserve it. I mean, and also this crowd is so insane in Vegas. Like at this point, I can't even imagine what it'll be like in the next round. You know, like for cities who have like, you know, are new into hockey, like once you have some first playoff success, it's like when everything grows. So Vegas is just starting to get pro sports teams with hockey being the first. NFL is going to be coming. But you got to think that after this year and what's already happened, this is going to be a hockey town, like one of the best hockey towns because they absolutely love this team. Who is the dude in Motley Crue, Vince, whatever?
Vince Neil.
Dude, he's tweeting about him. He's calling him a Motley Crue of misfits or whatever it is.
Goals.
Vince, whatever, Motley Crue tweeting about your team, you're just in one. And this team is so fun to watch. And I can't not believe how much money I lost on them. Like, fuck yourself, Whit, you piece of shit. You're a loser.
Well, we know that. Now, let's focus on the negative first and then build ourselves back up to the positive. Uh-oh. So what other horrible predictions have we had?
Horrible predictions? I got more in the wallet. I got Anaheim to win the cup. Who the fuck are they? San Diego Gulls called up the AHL team.
I called that,
that pick.
I called that one, boys. Nobody believed me. I picked them in six.
What did you do, Rear Admiral?
I listened to you like an asshole back in the fall when you said you liked Anaheim for the cup, so I jumped on him at 20-1, motherfucker. Closet with fucking JoJo the Whale.
Goaltending, I liked him going in just for the simple fact that
Gibson's sick.
Well, Gibson's came off an injury, too. I don't know if they rushed him back. I was worried about their depth up the middle of the ice for the simple fact that Kessler just hasn't really got it done because he's kind of been hurt with the hip injury this year.
He's old. He's had a hell of a career, but might be ending.
Well, listen, and you got – and nothing against Getzlaf. He had a decent year. He had like 60, 70 points. Him and Perry are making some substantial money, they won't be able to produce to that level of money that they got. And that's kind of a situation they put themselves in as an organization. What are you going to do? Not pay those guys? And it's weird being a general manager. There's that fine line between loyalty and are you going to screw your organization? I mean, Chicago's kind of going through it right now and some organization, they're going to have a tough time moving forward based on some of these contracts they've handed out.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Perry, he had 49 points in 71 games this year. That's a big time. Like, he's making bank. Getzlaf had over a point per game. Getzlaf's still a beast. He is what he is. But Rickard Rakell, who had this sick year, he's an all-star, 69 points, nice, in 77 games. He hasn't done shit in these first three games. And sure.
Going back to Getzlaf, though, how many goals?
Yeah, 11 goals this year. He never scores that many goals, though. Okay, now this Anaheim thing is another disaster on my end. I have disasters fucking everywhere.
The only question left in the series, I mean, basically 98% of teams who go up 3-0 win the series. San Jose's been a wagon over them so far. So I think the only question left is, who does Corey fucking Perry maim in game four?
Corey Perry, he might just take someone's head off.
Seriously, it's gonna be like the Warriors out there tomorrow night.
Let's predict. I mean, he's usually in front of the net, so I'd have to say he gets.
You know who I think he's gonna. If he didn't play in the Olympics and play international with Pickles Vlasic, I think he'd try to stab him in the throat. But because he knows him, I'm feeling like Justin Braun or Brendan Dillon. He might literally try to like slice their ear off with his blade or just do something just so bad because the worm is a pissed off worm right now.
He'll probably go after Logan Couture because like Corey likes to go after someone who's probably less likely to clap back at him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a whack at Logan.
Apparently, Perry took out a water jug on the way off the ice, which, I mean, that's kind of offensive to me considering I spent so much time with them during my time in the NHL. So, I mean, motherfucker, that's what I used to fucking make my money off of.
All right, boys. Stay away from those water bottles.
Just pulling it back to Tuesday night a little bit. Switching gears back to the Eastern Conference. Washington made a fucking series.
I wasn't done.
I didn't know.
Only because I wanted to defend myself a little bit in that the Anaheim pick, yes, trash pick by a trash analyst and a trash pod co-hoster. I really think San Jose is sick. Like, I'm starting to watch them. I don't even know some of the players on their team. I can openly admit it, but this team is buzzing. This is all without Joe Thornton, by the way. But Couture's on fire. Burns is feeling it. Pavelski's back to being on top of his game. And fucking Jones and Nett, dude, that guy's nasty. So it's like they're going to be playing Vegas, and it's not – I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with my pick there yet, but San Jose is for real, and they're quietly for real. Like, who the fuck's Marcus Sorensen? Like, this guy's flying around, buzzing around. Like, who are these people?
Well, so I played against the American League the last couple of years, and they had very good drafting and development. They had an awesome team. Second last year in the AHL, and then even my last year, they were buzzing around. You
remember some of these guys?
Yeah, and a few of them they actually let go. I think Carpenter, who's now in Las Vegas, they had him as well.
He's out there for the last minute tonight.
Yeah,
that's who they let go.
They just, I mean, look at Donskoy. I mean, he's had a very hot and cold season, but when he's on, he's on. They got some good. I mean, Bodker's a great third line player. He can skate. He can make plays. I know that he hasn't necessarily had the most offensive year, but they got a lot of depth, a lot of good players. I don't think they have a lot of liabilities either.
And they got Evander Kane, who like has been a beast.
Yes.
And they got him because I think I said this before. The ambience starting to kick in. By the way, this should get interesting. They got him. Because Buffalo, I spoke with Buffalo, who said San Jose was the only team that even made an offer for him. Nobody else even wanted him because of his reputation, the shit he's pulled before in other locker rooms. But they were like, you know what? We need this type of player. And he's gone there and he's shut his mouth and he's just been a beast. I mean, he's running guys over. He's scoring. He's playing on a top line. He's a great player. I mean, there's never been a complaint about the type of hockey player it was. It was the type of person he can be away from the game of hockey. Well, what do you know? When you just shut up and play and don't act like a fool, you just show how good you are. And now he's going to get paid, which he deserves to be, because he's having a hell of a season since he's got there and even before he got traded there. So this team's coming together at the right time. And I still think, like, when they play Vegas, I might have to pick against Vegas again. I might have to do it. I don't know what to do, but it might have to go down because San Jose's looked like a complete wagon.
Yeah, it should be another fantastic series, again, provided that the Ducks don't win four in a row. And I mean,
Ducks
some teams
aren't winning shit.
Yeah, they've looked shitty in two of the three games. I don't see that fucking happening. All right, time to go to the back to Tuesday night. Are you cleansed, Whitney? Are you all cleansed?
No, I'm not.
Anaheim exorcism. All right, no. I'm over it though.
I'm in a hotel room. It's Secaucus, New Jersey. You think I'm cleansed?
All right, don't mind me. I still got a fucking bad cold. Washington and Columbus have played three straight overtime games. Set last night, a two overtime game. Lazella and a crazy fluky goal. It was off a rebound. It hit Werenski. It hit his foot. Ended up in the net. He didn't even know he scored it. Put Washington back in the series. Otherwise, they'd be looking at a 3-0 hole. Interesting. So far, the road team has won every game. Every game's gone to OT. Basically, a coin flip. What do you think? What's your thoughts on that one, Witter?
Well, listen, I can't believe how the first two games looked like the Washington Capitals are still the exact same bunch of chokers that they've always been. They get out to two different two-goal leads in games one and two, and they manage to lose both of them? Are you kidding me? How is that even possible? And then they went down tonight. I'm sorry, not tonight. I don't know when this is coming out. They went down Tuesday night. And then they almost went down 2-0 in this ridiculous offsides rule, which, guys, that's a different subject for maybe later in this. I'm so sick and tired of two things. One of them being reviews for goals, okay? I can't stand it anymore. Offside, goalie interference. Every single goal, there's a review, it seems like. The second thing I'm sick of is smooth.
What the fuck is that?
It's this garbage Gatorade commercial that's shown 19,000 times every time the commercial happens between Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane just going smooth. I'm like, they might as well do the breaking news thing for Pardon My Take. It's driving me insane. But this series is it's a series now because the game that happened that we got to witness Tuesday night, it was back and forth. The crowd in Columbus, talk about maybe sneaky best crowd in the league because they're standing up for half the game. I mean, if you're standing up at an arena, a seat you're paying $250 minimum for, you know you love the game. They love the Jackets. The teams are buzzing. But Washington did what it had to do. It had to get back in this series because if they go down 3-0, they are a laughingstock if they go down 3-0.
Yeah, that's
Ovechkin,
true. That's
Ovechkin guaranteed victories in game 3 and 4, and now he's halfway there. He went a little Joe Namath on us. He looks like Joe Namath with how gray his hair is, so I guess that's an accurate comparison. But Columbus.
Like Chernobyl water.
Columbus. Columbus was trying to become the first team. I couldn't believe this stat. They were trying to become the first team in the history of the league to win three games in a row in overtime to start a series. I can't believe that's never happened.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised. I remember like 1 year when Colorado won the cup. It might have been 96. Them in Chicago had a 5-game series, and it was one of the best 5-game series you ever seen. And I think like three of them went to overtime, not the first three. But yeah, that is kind of surprising given how close that the teams are so many years. There's always a very tight series.
They threw out a pretty crazy stat that I hadn't heard before, that eight teams in the National Hockey League, I think it was Grinnelli, eight teams franchises have never swept a playoff series. So, yeah, I guess that is believable.
Eight teams? I mean,
have never.
And Vegas did it?
And Vegas did it
against a team I bet on. Unbelievable. How old's this league? 100 years?
Yeah, well, up until 1991, there were only 21 teams. They've added 10 in the last, 17 years or whatever. So, actually, 27 years. So for 21, I mean, they went from to 17 to 21, and then they just were stuck on 21 until they brought in like Ottawa, San Jose, but all that generation of expansion. But that's still surprising that it's that many. But
so
I'm still confident with my Washington pick. They dominated game two. They outshot them basically 2-1, and I still like them. I'm happy with that pick, and I can go down with the ship on that one.
And who did I pick? Columbus?
I don't remember because they butchered out the tweet with all our picks on it was apparently error-filled according to Twitter, so we can't reference that one. I don't have your picks written down. Looks like the ambience starting to kick in.
I know who I got.
I think I picked Columbus because I have Columbus to like go to the cup final in one pool I did.
I'll say this. The only two series I would have guaranteed were Tampa and
Nash
and Phil. That's the only two series. But, man, Colorado's looked decent.
And Jersey looked decent. Both of those teams went home and took care of business. Nathan MacKinnon is a stallion out there. That guy's just buzzing around sniping. Taylor Hall, our Spittin' Chiclets MVP, if we had a vote, we'd vote twice, was buzzing in game three at the Rock. So that became a series. So every single series in the East currently sits at 2-1, which is great. That'll kind of bring me to my next horrific mistake that I'm getting dummied on Twitter for. Why did I pick the Maple Leafs? What the fuck am I doing? Why did I pick the Maple Leafs? I watched the Bruins all year. They dummy teams. They're shit-pumping teams. They're making a mockery. They're making a mockery of other teams. And I picked the Leafs because I thought the Bruins were going to regret and struggle from having to play the Leafs instead of the Devils. Like, what was I doing?
I wouldn't beat yourself up over that one, especially for the Carlo injury, and especially the fact that who predicted that top line came out and pumped that much offense out. But it's a 2-1 series. Leafs are at home next game. I wouldn't sleep on them. I think they have a more spread out lineup, and you know.
Yeah, but dude, Kadri is an idiot. He's like Marchand. They're both so good. They're both these incredible players that literally can't not be an idiot. Can you not be an idiot? Can you not just drill a guy in the head like while he's down on the ground?
Sometimes the emotions take over. It was a stupid bozo move.
What was your guys' takes on, go with you, Biz, first. What did you think? Was three games appropriate? Should have been more? Should have been less?
Yeah, it looked bad. I mean, I have no problem with that.
I thought it should have been two. I thought it was bad, but two in the playoffs is like four in regular season. Right? What did you say? Playoffs! Trying to win the game.
One other interesting thing too, Biz. You wonder if they actually started Holtby out of the gate, would Washington have a 2-1 series lead? Because Holtby, before the series, he had 59 career playoff starts. Grubauer had one. And not that Grubauer was bad in the first two games, but it's just interesting. Now Holtby's the starter. He's got his job back. And the same thing happened in New Jersey. We talked about that, too, the Kincaid situation. Schneider won his job back. So, you know, you wonder maybe those guys should have been there out of the chute. Maybe their teams wouldn't be down 2-1, right?
I'll say this. One of the toughest decisions as a head coach is who to go out with a net, especially if you've had a guy who's been slumping a little bit and he's your starter. Going into playoffs, you have to go who's going hot. Grubauer lost the first game. I would right away go back with Holtby because I think in Grubauer's head, he's thinking, okay, I think the net's going back to Holtby. Yeah, at least that's what I think.
Yes, yes.
And then now he's like, oh, God, now the pressure's really on, and maybe pressure he's never had to deal with at the NHL level. So he got smoked, and then you throw Holtby in, you give him the shit sandwich, he hasn't warmed up. Just fucking give the net back to Holtby game two.
That was insane. And that was exactly why if Washington loses this series, Barry Trotz is getting fired. And if Minnesota loses their series, Bruce Boudreau is getting fired. Explain to me, you decide to start Grubauer. You start Grubauer. It was the most – you could have asked a fucking 10-year-old kid who's playing peewee hockey, who's a diehard Capitals fan, who's starting game two. He would have said Holtby. And you go back to Grubauer?
It's tough because head coaches in the NHL are
mutants.
They live and die on decisions like that. And I mean, we go back to that Pittsburgh series we talked about in against Ottawa when they picked Murray instead of Fleury after he'd brought them already to that point in the conference finals. I went online on Twitter and I was shocked. I was like, fuck. I said, that's a ballsy move because if Murray shits the bed, Then who do you go back with? You go back to Flower, and then the fan base was up in arms. It was a 50-50 split. Sure enough, Sullivan in Pittsburgh ended up making the right call, and they ended up winning it. That's a fucking decision that's going to save his job for years to come. Where if they would have had a bad start out of the gate, who knows? You could have been the next fucking Dan Bylsma.
See, I think those coaches had known commodities in Schneider and Holtby, and they should have went with him because everyone talked about how bad Schneider was. He lost his last 12 games. Well, what happened when he played in cleanup duty in fucking that second game? He was unbelievable. He came in ice cold off the bench, and he was lights out, man. I think those guys, like we say, that were at a certain level, they could just kind of turn it on. They're mental. They're fucking crazy goalies. And
Like you said, you're in a no-lose situation after that other goalie loses game one. Now you're coming in. The pressure is way less on you than it would be that guy who lost game one, knowing if he has a bad start, he's getting yanked.
Want to hear something?
Let's hear it.
I'll tell you this thing, too. The week of wit continues.
Week of shit.
The week of Ryan Shitney. Columbus, the last seven games they've played, going back to the regular season, has gone over. And Washington's last seven games they played, including regular season, has gone over. So what do I do tonight? I take the over. I take the over. And it ends up 3-2. The over was 6. I lose another bet. I am so cold, and I'm so cold and miserable because those goalies played sick tonight. Holtby was a freak in net. He made a bunch of ridiculous saves. To talk about this series and not talk about the bread man is ridiculous because yeast mode is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Yeast be rising. I mean, Panarin.
Something you don't always want to hear.
Has risen, I should say. He is so sick. I can't believe that Brandon Saad got traded for this guy. People thought he was only good because of Patrick Kane. If you're not watching this guy, his overtime winner in game one was a sick joke. He beat somebody wide tonight. He almost won it in overtime again tonight. He has chances. He sets guys up. He had another assist to Pierre-Luc Dubois tonight, who sniped one. I like that guy's game, too. Hey, he's a fucking nice player, that guy. He's a beast. He's tall, can skate, and he looks tough. Whatever. It's the week of Shitney, but it's also a week of great hockey. So I have that to be thankful for. Can't you guys tell from my voice?
Dude, well, you know you're cold when you're like trying to bet best bets off of regular season stats, man. That shouldn't have anything to do with it. You know it gets tighter in the playoffs, man. You can't play that.
But I'm saying the first two games of the series had also gone over.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Buddy. It's fucking.
I'm like, all right, this is on. These teams are on trains of going over. And then I saw it was 6. It wasn't even 5.5.
When the roulette hits black for 7 in a row, and then you fight. You're like, I might as well. And then it hits red, and you're like, what the fuck was I thinking?
I'm the guy who's like, oh, yeah, it's due. No, dude, it's not due. It's never due.
I thought the Generals were due.
I am crusty right now, putting my net worth on the fucking Generals.
Hey, boys, should we stir the pot and talk about how one of the Winnipeg Jets almost killed Staal tonight, and the fans are losing it on Twitter?
Dude, that was so dirty. And you know what's disgusting? You know what's disgusting? I'm gonna say two things that's disgusting about that. The first being the hit, because that was a fucking joke. Morrissey literally just cross-checked Staal right in the face. And I do want to say Morrissey has no record of being a dirty player. He said after, I'm not a dirty player. I would never try to injure anyone. Well, that can happen to anyone, and then all of a sudden you're a dirtbag. So he's a dirtbag for that hit. It was a dirty hit. He will be suspended. He better be suspended. If they suspended Doughty and he doesn't get suspended, something's seriously wrong. My second thing is Bruce Boudreau after the game saying that that's why they lost the game. Oh,
Shut up. He's desperate.
Shut up, Bruce. You're going to go out and say that's why we lost? You lost 2-0 and you lost the game because it wasn't called? Horrible refereeing. I don't know. By the way, there's four people that could have saw that. I saw it. I was on my phone barely watching the game. I mean, it's just crazy.
How did you feel about that comment?
I thought the Bruce Boudreau comment.
Did you hear it? Because I read it online, and I thought it was a spoof account, a Darren Dreger spoof account.
PSN Bobby McKenzie.
And that's a sign of a coach. You know the term playing with the house's money. It's like, oh yeah, you got three cups, and somehow, whatever. Who cares if we win? Then you fucking win again. That guy can't get past, second round. I don't think he's ever gotten past, or maybe he's never gotten to the Stanley Cup Finals. And he's just so desperate, and it sucks because he seems like such a nice fucking guy. But I mean, holy fuck, blame that loss.
He's hitting the Richard panic button.
Yeah.
And Richard Panik's hitting his own panic button currently. The little arrest.
Comment.
No comment on that, and it could happen to anyone.
Did they put that on the NHL Network?
No. I was trying to get him to put it on there so I could make a funny one-liner about it, but they wouldn't do it.
I actually heard about it when it happened, and I thought it was going to get swept under the rug, but I think he just got kicked out of a bar. He didn't get a DUI. He didn't fucking hit anyone.
That ain't the place you want to get a DUI. Yeah,
I was just saying, that was a New York cop or a Chicago cop or a Boston cop. He'd probably like, all right, buddy, go the other way. But it's a little Scottsdale action. What's your last
Sheriff
name?
Joe. What's his name? Sheriff Joe?
Joe Arpaio, yeah.
He's a piece of-
So what, Biz, answer your question about Boudreaux. Yeah, he became kind of like a cult hit after the HBO show when he had the barbecue sauce all over his face. And then, you know, he couldn't win in Washington. Then he couldn't win in Anaheim. Now he can't win in Minnesota. By this weekend, Winnipeg, they won a big 2-0 game. Mark Scheifele, what can you say, stud, second and third goals of the playoffs. He's probably going to be this weekend in a third bottle of wine watching himself on Slapshot for the 85th time playing for the Hyannisport Presidents.
Because I don't think he's going to lose his job.
I think if they lose first round, he's gone.
You know why I don't think so? Is because they had a pretty successful season, and the fact that they lost Suter before the playoffs start, and then they lost Parisi during the first round.
Dude, I wanted to talk about that. Parisi, man, fucking guy.
Stirred him out.
Dude, he battled so long to get back from that back surgery. He didn't skate for like 200 days or something like that. Finally gets back. Not only does he get back, the first three games he looked like Zach Parise, who superstar Zach Parise. And he was dominating down low. He's a presence in front of the net. He's tenacious on the puck. He's got some superstar grinder in him, like I call Sid all the time. Parise's got some of that. And then to see him actually take a hit and break his sternum, and now he's out 6 to 8 months, I actually felt sick to my stomach for him because that sucks to work that hard to get back. And then to not only get back, but to be back at the top of your game and helping your team win a huge game at home to get back in a series to get that news. Which, by the way, was that not broken by Barstool Jordy?
That was the first I saw it. I don't know. I'm sure people didn't source them because they hate to do that to us.
Is that like a big deal to break news? I feel like I would never.
Biz, I'm learning. Since I've started this, apparently it's like pretty big. Yeah. Like we have a guy, Barstool Chief, with the Blackhawks, and we got a guy, Barstool Jordy, with Philly, and they kind of just do a lot of NHL stuff too. And this Jordy found out and said, Parise's out for the year. We're out for the series. And nobody said a word forever. And then it went everywhere. And I checked right away if, like, other people had it. Nobody did. And then it went everywhere, and nobody said his name. But he was the first one I saw to have it out there.
Here's my question to you as someone involved in the media now. I feel like I would never want to be that guy to be known as a guy like, oh, I did it first. I got it first. Yeah. I got the scoop.
I'd rather stick Ambien up my hoop than try to do that job. Well,
I'd rather crush it up and blow it through a straw through your hoop.
Yeah, exactly. Through your hoop.
To steal an analogy from the big J's, to get a scoop and beat everybody, that's like scoring a goal in hockey. Like, you don't have to brag about it and dance about it because you don't have to, because you when you break it, everybody knows. Like they call them, what's it, Woj bombs.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? It means you're the best at your job. You're the most wide in. Like, Bob McKenzie does it all the time, but he doesn't dunk on people. Like, the Canadian writers are classy about it. That's why I kind of look up to them more than the American writers. Like, Friedman, you know, Bob McKenzie, Pierre LeBrun, Darren Dreger, they're so respectful about it. They just break it, and then they don't gloat about it. But everyone knows who breaks it because they're so fucking wired in that.
They have a bit of a monopoly because they're boys with all the old school guys who are all at the top. But I feel like there's definitely two ways about it. Like you just said, like the Bob McKenzie's where like he's the Bob father. Like, he's not doing it to be cool. It's just like he's got all those resources and he's the fucking man. Where there are some guys who treat it like, aha, I did it first. Like, I'm a fucking nose pick.
Well, I think Boston was, because it's like no one expects us to. So
yeah. They're the same guys who are like fucking, hold on, teacher. You didn't give us any homework. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I wasn't sure from the Barstool guys. I'm just saying, it's like, I would never want to be that guy.
No, I would never either. You know who ate it? I don't know if you remember Aaron Ward. I don't know if he was like trying to get into the world, and he broke the to the Penguins, and then it
didn't. Oh, if you have one bad scoop, you get fucking smoked.
Dude, I think one bad scoop like that, and I haven't heard Aaron Ward ever try to break a scoop again. It was like that buried him. So
yeah, they said with this fucking bar on a podcast.
Well, what happened is he got
NHL series picks.
He got good intel, but what happened was, if going back to that story, Ginla changed his mind. Like, Ginla was going to go to Boston, and then Crosby changed his mind afterwards.
You got to dip your toe in. You got to be like, hey, here in very strong consideration for a Ginla. You have to give yourself out. You can't be like confirmed. Because then once he changes his mind, you're fucking toe. Then you're like, that. And then Ward's calling a Ginla. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? You fucked me over a scoop guy, you fucker.
Hey, I've perfected giving the 1 foot in thing in life. Like my wife's like, hey, are we going out to dinner? And I'm like, yeah, but actually there's a wicked small chance that we're doing a podcast. I don't give a definite answer to anything in my life.
Excuse me.
I always want an out.
It's good.
You're like, you know what, we could do that, but I just had Biz blow a fucking Ambien up my asshole, so we may stay in and just fucking sleep.
Speaking of injured stars, Pittsburgh Philly could have a real problem. Sean Cuckoo, I am the Walrus Couturier. He fight. You see what happened to him? His own teammate Ratko Gunnars hit him in practice, backed into him. He looked like he stuck his leg out almost on Gunnars. Couturier went ass over tea kettle, down through his stick in anger. Real ugly if you're a Flyers fan. Go ahead.
No. I want you to say his name. I want you to say his name.
Ratko Gunnars?
No, I want you to say the player who was hurt's name.
Sean Couturier.
Okay. I was like, I don't know I thought you might actually have turned it into the cuckoo, 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 cuckoo thing. And that was his official name for you. But this injury is so ridiculous. Dude, I cannot believe it would happen. And for people who don't know, what it was you're doing neutral zone regroup drills at the beginning of practice where guys go D to D, and then you snap it up to the winger who goes in, warms up the goalie, sometimes the D follow-in, point shot, kind of just a little warm-up drill. But you have to make sure that opposite sides of the ice are going at the same time. Solely because of collisions and the possibility that guys aren't looking, guys are skating backwards, heads down, you can't be having guys, collide. And sure as shit, there was some sort of miscommunication as to whose line was going to start first. And all you see is how ironic is it that Ratko Gunnars, that dirty fuck, just buries one of their best players, their second leading goal scorer this year, their number one top defensive player up front, buries the guy in the knee, goes flying up in the air. And I love how there was this little reporter in the corner just happened to catch it. He had no idea what he was just recording the drill. And then
he's scoop guy now.
Yeah, he's scoop. He's like, I can make it now. I can make it. And then Couturier tells him I'm not playing. He's like, I got the news. He's not playing. And then Couturier plays, and the guy's career is just done.
And then people hate him more than Gunnars.
But Couturier, he chucked his stick. He fucking was pissed off, and you could tell he was so mad because he realized, I'm probably out of this series. He looked bad. They asked Claude Giroux after. He goes, it looked really bad.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. When I first saw it and I hadn't read the caption, I legit thought Gunnars need one of their best fucking players on a 2-on-1, and my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my fucking God. I said, Philly fans are the only fans that will stick up for that guy, and they're going to fucking murder his family.
Actually thought because it's him, I was like, oh my God, they are probably doing a battle drill. And he was probably like, fuck it, and got pissed off and just buried someone from behind. And I was like, this guy, I was like, can you get the player of the director of player personnel and safety to call and suspend a guy from something that happens in practice?
Hey, Nolan Jonkman, he used to play in the American League, played a few games in the
show. Handsome prick.
He's a handsome fella, huge hog. tough crowd. Anyway.
I was drinking water. I loved it. I was drinking water. I loved it.
We were practicing right after Olympic break one year, and he fucking killed me in practice. Guys couldn't believe it. I'm surprised I didn't fight him, but I couldn't because I was so fucking fucked up. And then another time in practice, very similar to what happened with Gunnars and Couturier, was Boyd Gordon got hit, and it was during the lockout, and it was towards the end of it, and he ended up getting concussed and missed the start of the season on one of those drills where guys are crossing, and then one guy missed the pass, so try to end up chasing it and catching it, and then collision, boom, nobody sees anybody, gonzos.
I mean, people don't even realize there's certain players on every team that are just drill wreckers, and they're body wreckers too. Guys will come down. Not only will they fuck up the drill, when they don't fuck up the drill, they'll come down and they'll ring a clapper high off the glass that goes buzzing around the glass to the corner where everyone's standing. People are jumping out of the way like a bomb's just been thrown there. People are getting their teeth knocked out, their ears hit. It's a disaster zone at practice when you get a
I sympathize a bit for drill busters because I was one. So yeah, I got
probably the biggest drill buster, dude. Because you would be like, wait, what? Where am I going? What position am I playing?
But Malkin used to kick me to the back of the line every time I try to go first. No, I'm serious.
No biz. No biz.
He's like, give me puck. Give me puck.
But there was someone dug up a gif of fucking Gudas actually punching fucking Claude Giroux in the face at the World Championships last year. Did you see it?
It's hilarious. Yeah, I did. Like, I did see that.
He skated into like Gudas is going at it with McKinnon, and Giroux comes in to get involved, and he doesn't even look at him. He just puts his fist up and decks his own. And the best player on his fucking team, and he punches him out. That is fucking bananas, dude.
The thing about Gudas is that he, like, of all the shit we've given him and all these podcasts about how dirty he is, he's actually a pretty effective defenseman. Like, when he plays, he's like, I know people talk Corsi. Apparently, his Corsi's always up there. I'm regurgitating something I've heard. Maybe this was last season. But he's like he's not that bad out there. I mean, he makes some plays. He's hard to play against defensively.
You heard that?
What?
You heard that from Bad Scoop Guy about his Corsi.
That's not an RA fact, that's for sure.
No, I heard it from some dude. I don't even remember. They were saying his Corsi was good. Let us know, Corsi people, let us know if that's phantom. But, he, if you're playing against him, you know this dude may just take a stick and tomahawk me over the head. Like, you never know.
He's a wild card.
So, exactly. So, because of a wild card, he kind of makes it tough to play against. But, boys, I mean, they should suspend him if Couturier can't play. Be like, fuck you. You don't get to play if you hurt him. Okay, well, listen. So we're dropping another one Friday, right, Grinnelli?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, so we're dropping another one Friday, so we can go more into the Leafs Bruins series, and go more into Nashville, Colorado, and we can go a little bit more into what's the other one I'm forgetting in the East.
Tampa, Jersey.
Okay, we didn't even really talk about Philly Pittsburgh. We just talked about the mutant Gudas dummy and his best player. So we have more to go into. I know this is quick business.
Crosby's decent.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby's decent against the Philadelphia Flyers.
Should we talk about the urinals? The Crosby pictures in the urinals?
Dude, they put Crosby's pictures in the urinals? Philly's such
a trash city. That's fucking savage, man.
They're a trash bucket city. They really are. I can't believe it. I hope that whole city – I hope the 76ers lose. I hope the Flyers lose. I hope that Ben Simmons hurts fucking Joel Embiid. Another Flyers injury problem. Fuck Philly.
And then Kevin Hart has another shitty movie coming up. Well, that's pretty much a guarantee already. But, Crosby's wraparound the other day. I mean, I know wraparound's a semi-routine. It was a thing of fucking beauty. Like, the way he kicked it to himself. And then the way his skates pivoted. Like, and I mean this as a comment. He looked like a figure skater the way he went around the net and then tucked it. It was like a thing of beauty, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. The reason why I respect Crosby so much, if people did and said the shit that he deals with on a day-to-day, year-to-year basis, and he still fucking gets it done and still has cups, I would be fucking shitting on everybody online. I'd be telling them to kiss my fucking ass. I'd be telling them to suck my dick. I'm a psycho like that. I'll fucking fuck you, a guy who's...
You're a grudge guy. You're a grudge guy. That's what I love about you.
Take it easy, Francis.
No, you're a grudge guy.
I'm the nicest guy when you're nice to me. And if you're a fucking dick to me, I'm coming and swinging. That's how I work. Crosby, I don't know how he just ignored. He like kindest response to that. He's like, oh, yeah, it's happened before. And I'm just like, oh, I just want him to fucking unload.
Yeah, but I think deep down it just drives him to be even better. And maybe someday he'll write a book and me and you can be the co-authors and we'll rip on everyone. Do you think there's two people in the world he would rather have his write his book than me, rather me and you? We could make him look like a complete savage.
Maybe somebody who can write, but yes, I agree with you.
Ever since he found out I said he would get 50 goals, and that one. All right, so
we're getting pigeon tossed by Grinnelli.
So there's a lot of shit that we still have to talk about. This is why we're doing two now in the playoffs. But quickly before we go, I lost a bet. I was on a golf trip to Pinehurst. I played against six from the Trinity College, Bill Maharis, Andy O'Connor, Ryan Masucci, Jay Driscoll. Jay Driscoll made a bet that I have to shout them all out on Spit and Chicklets if they beat us. They did beat us. So, Jay, you look like Ezekiel Elliott. So, congrats. You're an amazing golfer and you beat me. But, you know, go fuck yourself, because the next time I have to deal with you on a golf course, I won't be on Ambien and I won't be spraying T-balls left and right. So, congratulations. Good luck. And Brendan Timmons, Sean Donaher, those are the other two guys. Congrats on your win, but go fuck yourselves.
All right. So I can wrap up their last night's activities. The Knights swept the Kings. Kings are going to be golfing with Wits for the rest of the summer. Winnipeg went up 3-1 with a 2-0 victory over Minnesota.
Oh, I bet
Minnesota.
Winnipeg in the series. I have Winnipeg in the series.
He's got a winner.
My first winner.
But you're still a Muppet. And Washington made it a series 2-1. Wednesday night's games, Pittsburgh at Philly. Pittsburgh's up 2-1. Tampa at Jersey. Tampa's up 2-1. Nashville at Colorado. Nashville up 2-1. And potential handshakes in Anaheim, Orange County, with San Jose up 3-0.
That'll be on the Golf Channel. Ironically, a team could shake hands to go play golf on the Golf Channel.
And then we'll be back on Friday. Boston, Toronto playing Thursday night. Washington, Columbus. But we'll have tons to chat about. So any other closing thoughts, boys? Biz, before you leave Australia.
Imagine if Gudas like comes out in like a Pittsburgh uniform and it was just all part of the plan. Like if they could have just ever somehow just like
finagle. Ambien's 100% kicked in.
All right, boys. Peace out.